Philip II deals with Argalus. Now, more than 70 years later, the Athenians still wanted their colony of Amphipolis, which was allied with Sparta and had thrown off Athenian rule. Sensing that regaining the city was their real goal, that backing Argalus in his bid for a Macedonian throne was a means to an end, Philip decided to weaken their resolve. What he did was he recalled the garrison that had been sent to the city by his brother, and then formally declared the city to be autonomous. Ostensibly, this renounced any Macedonian claim to Amphipolis. So even if Argalus succeeded in becoming king, he would not be able to hand over the city to Athens. In the meantime, envoys went to the Paeonian king and also to the Thracian king. They were backing Pausanias, the other pretender to the Macedonian throne. Philip gave both monarchs substantial bribes. Gifts were enough to persuade the Paeonians to cease raiding his territory, at least for the moment. Like a lot of successful leaders, Philip was lucky. In Thrace, the formidable king Cotes had united the tribes, but he had just died, and several of his sons were now battling to succeed him. They did not present a unified threat. The prince who was supporting Pausanias preferred to take Philip's gold and silver, rather than risk war on the pretender's behalf in hopes of gaining plunder and influence. Pausanias vanishes from our sources at this point, so perhaps the deal was sealed with his death. In 359 BCE, an Athenian expedition landed at their ally, Methone, a city near Pydna, on the coast of Macedon. Argeus brought his own mercenaries. There was also a force of 3,000 hoplites supplied by Athens. Many mercenaries, but at least some of whom were citizens, all backed by a squadron of warships. This was a substantial force, its scale in keeping with earlier Athenian expeditions to the region. After disembarking, they divided their strength. The bulk of the Athenians remained with their commander, Metaeus, at Methone, while Argeus advanced with his own men and some Athenian observers. He forced march to Age, some 18 or 19 miles away, and it is just possible that the decision to leave the main force behind was to avoid making his reliance on foreign aid too obvious. Arriving outside the traditional capital of the kingdom, he declared himself king, hoping that the locals would come out and acclaim him. They ignored him. Whether from trust or affection for Philip, dislike of Argeus, or plain doubts about his chances. Argeus then retreated, but his men must have been tired and dispirited, and by this time Philip knew of his presence. It was his turn to move quickly, and he caught and defeated the pretender before he could get back to Methone and his allies. Although it's a little more than a large skirmish, Philip had won his first victory. He was generous to those Athenian citizens with the column, allowing them to return to Methone. Argeus and any exiled Macedonians serving him were not so fortunate. Philip insisted that they be handed over to him, presumably for execution. Meanwhile, Metaeus and his men tried to capture Amphipolis, but failed. Luck is one thing, but successful leaders need to be good at exploiting the opportunities when they come your way. Soon afterwards, the Paeonian king died. Philip had bought peace from him, but he now realized the Paeonians were more likely to be preoccupied in squabbling over the succession. He mustered a large army and advanced against the Paeonians, defeating them in battle and forcing their leaders to swear allegiance to him. Buoyed by his second success, Philip now turned to deal with Bardylus, the Illyrians, and most probably this would have taken place in 358 BCE. He summoned the Macedonians to muster under arms after a winter spent in their homes. At an assembly, he made a speech encouraging them and promising victory, before advancing at the head of an army of 10,000 infantry and 600 cavalry. By this time, it was not Philip, but his opponent, who preferred to talk. Bardylus sent a proposal for peace based on each monarch holding the territory that they presently controlled. Philip rejected the offer, demanding the Illyrians retire entirely from Upper Macedonia. And in response, Bardylus gathered his forces, which suggests he had been more than half expecting to fight. He had 10,000 infantry and 500 cavalry as well, although the latter appears a lot less capable than their Macedonian counterparts. On the other hand, he and his men remembered their great victory over Perdiccas and were bound to be confident that they could rout the new king once again as well. So next time we'll be looking at the big battle against the Illyrians. Now the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.